What is up, Moncton and Instagram? Welcome to the first ever Instagram Live episode of the Moncton Wildcast podcast and the first playoff episode of the Moncton Wildcast podcast. As always, if you're a long-time listener, thank you. If you're a first-time listener, we appreciate the support.
Are you pointing fingers?
Oh, yeah, I'm pointing fingers. I'm pointing fingers. Oh, yeah. As always, I'm your host, Adam. I'm here with my two co-hosts, Mr. Jeremy Boucher.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey. Always a much better podcast after a big win.
Yes.
I'll say that. But I always got to start the show off with the old dad joke. What do you call a carpenter who misplaces his tools?
I don't know.
A saw loser.
Wow.
That's pretty
good.
You dug deep. That was good.
Finally had one.
And that other voice that you see and hear, Mr. Chris Dobson.
What's up, everybody? I'm glad everybody's tuning in. This is a lot of fun. Fun fact of the day, probably going to blow a couple people's minds today, but did you guys know that it is illegal to be a prostitute in Siena if your name is Mary?
Wow.
Just saying.
Or ask you why.
It doesn't go into why.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. Sucks to be you, Mary.
Well, Mary, quite contrary.
Tough enough life as it is. All right, so the quick question. This one's pretty simple right now.
Didn't even look at the show document. Not going to lie, so fired up.
You know what? You're a true pro. You don't even need to. You just show up and hit it out of the park.
Just make fun of it.
What has been your biggest takeaway from the playoffs so far?
I've got two. One, after looking at the score, somehow Shawinigan beat Rouyn-Noranda again tonight. Absolutely ludicrous. Two, Moncton has a series tied without Jacob Pelche and Jordan Spence.
Yep.
Amen, brother.
Yep.
Amen. For me, I'm going to stay here in Moncton. I tweeted it earlier. Jeremy McKenna taking faceoffs.
9 for 9 tonight.
9 for 9.
9 for 9. Bat 1,000.
Including the one in Moncton zone with what? A minute and a half left?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember, he only started taking face-offs after the trade period.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't even in the face-off circle until that. Yeah.
Not often you see a right winger taking face-offs.
No.
And like a natural right winger.
He's good at it, though.
Yeah. What are your takeaways?
Obviously staying with Moncton being tied 2-2. And then Rimouski just beating Chicoutimi in what looks like will be 4 straight. I thought Chicoutimi was going to be a little bit tougher out than what they are, and it looks like Rimouski's going to roll through them in 4.
Yeah, considering how well they played down the stretch.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, Shawinigan-Wren is the biggest one, but the Rimouski, Chicoutimi. I thought Chicoutimi was going to upset. I think we all did, actually.
Chicoutimi, RKO out of nowhere, you know, climbing the stand.
Out of nowhere!
Like, the last month and a half of the season.
Now, that being said, there's still a period of hockey to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're down
6-3.
So,
for some reason, they took it away. Gatineau was showing a 3-2 lead over Drummondville, but then it went back to 2-2.
Oh, yeah, I still got 3-2. Sherbrooke is now leading the series 3-1 with a 6-2 victory. Like we said, Shawinigan a 4-3 victory over Rouyn-Noranda. Val-d'Or is up 4-3 on Victoriaville.
Woo!
Strange. I said that series could go either way.
Right. Yeah. So and I did take Val-d'Or. Yeah. So
I did take Victoriaville.
Let's go, Val-d'Or.
Cape Breton got back into their series. Proving the old adage, you're never in trouble till you lose at home, 6-2.
Speaking of Val-d'Or, just a small little segue. On Friday, don't forget, Hockeyville, Craft Hockeyville, the votes start to come on in on Friday. I believe it's from Friday till Saturday. And the reason I'm tying Val-d'Or into this is that the New Brunswick representation from the National Hockey League also ties into the Moncton Wildcats, Brad Marchand. You know, you see that thing come on through. Brad Marchand was part of the Luc Bourdon trade, of course, that brought Luc Bourdon to Moncton.
Okay.
And he is the representative from the NHL running on Renews for Kraft Hockeyville. New Brunswick has never won it. It would be absolutely fantastic. So Friday, get out and vote. I think it's at like Friday at 1 until Saturday at 2 or something. I don't know the actual times, but it's Friday until Saturday. You want to vote because Renews could get a $250,000 grant. A lot of crazy things have happened in Renews that it's well-deserved. I'm pretty sure. By the way, go out and vote.
And their minor hockey league team, probably the better name I've ever heard in sports, the Renews Whoppers.
Oh my God, that'd be so good right now.
Whopper?
Whopper? Oh,
just yeah. Crushed some Thai Bites from BP.
Awesome.
How were those?
A little cold. We ordered them at 6. Just ate them now.
All right, so let's get to why we're here. This series is tied 2-2.
I was going to say about Month of Magic. Right?
Yes. I don't even know when they start. I think it's this Friday.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Series, the series tied 2-2. Let's go to the game recaps. Friday. No, last Friday, game one.
Are we going? Okay.
Yeah. We can go all the way back.
Let's go all the way back. Yeah.
We got four games to recap. 2-1 overtime loss. Obviously, this team was thrown off by the injuries to Peltz and Spence. That was the major key.
Gut-wrenching.
I mean, you talked about it early on, Chris, special teams. I said goaltending, and those were major factors. LeClaire kept us in it, but we went 0 for 8 on the power play. So you guys' thoughts on game one? Other than the obvious, of course.
You know what? Had you asked any Moncton Wildcat fan, and I said this tonight on the broadcast, that this series, you know, in general, after we lose Jordan Spence, Jacob Pelche, that they would, A, push that team to overtime,
mm-hmm.
B, come back, win game two, B, C, go to overtime for game three, and then win game four. Meanwhile, you're still about your two key cogs in the power play. I'd call you a liar. I look at it from a coaching perspective. My hat, full kudos go to Coach John Torchetti, and I believe he is out coaching his opponent right now.
Which I think you said was the...
I agreed on that.
Yeah, he was going to out-coach him.
It's, you know, you look at what he's capable of doing, and that game, again, albeit it went to overtime, and I took a lot of heat, and I'm going to call Dave McKnight out for this, so I hope he's listening.
He's listening.
I know.
I'm watching.
He called me out. He was kind of teasing me a little bit when I said that Hamvanov was the X factor, and if he took stupid penalties, Bacolo had the best power play in the league, and he kind of made a little smirk on Twitter, and I'll give him full kudos, because you're right. If a player takes a penalty and the other team has a power play, chances are they're going to win. Yeah, and get out works. I still love you, Dave. But you know what? He leads this Moncton Wildcats teams in penalties so far. I think he took 12. His 12th pin today.
Yeah, I think so.
But Moncton's PK unit has been great. But game one was just an absolute treat to see, because I wasn't sure how they were going to rebound. After that game was over, I thought the series was done.
Which leads us to Saturday, a 5-2 victory over Bacomo. You can't say enough about the effort. I said to you guys on our little Facebook group, they might play better on Saturday with the fact that they knew the guys were going to be out. They could plan. They could adjust accordingly. The power play got going. They only scored one goal, but at least they got going. It's amazing that the 17-year-old Spence, how big of a miss it is that he's not out there quarterback in power play one.
Hey, you know,
nothing against Pelche, but the fact that Spence is not back there quarterback in that power play.
And kudos to Jordan Spence winning Defensive Rookie of the Year last night. But no, you're absolutely right. I will give credit where credit is due, and that is the fourth line. The fourth line played fantastic so far. I'm a fan of exactly how they're playing right now. You know, there's a lot of guys who necessarily didn't show up, in my opinion. You know, DeHart wasn't quite there, and they relied a little heavier on the fourth line. And you know what? Kudos to you guys. Keep up the great work. I love watching you play, and you can clearly tell that John Torchetti has a lot of confidence in that fourth line, because he's playing them in key situations.
2 weeks ago, I said that Sean Stewart, I liked him as a forward.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Man.
Air high five.
Man, I can't say enough. Like, this is the new thing. Like, as much as he's a defenseman, I just can't see him going back there. I mean, it's like that fourth line right now is the law firm of Stewart, and Foreman. Right?
That's awesome.
It's just, you know, they're doing a fourth line would do.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time they're out there against Bacomo's, you know, top line. And, you know, in a fourth line, all rookies, right? They're all rookies for that matter.
Pretty much, yeah.
You'd think a fourth line full of 17-year-old rookies would be the ones hemmed in their own zone, right? But then tonight and then last night, it just seemed like they were the ones hemming Bacomo in their own zone. With the exception of, I think, was it a goal tonight? I think it was, where the fourth line was on the ice.
And I think in game one, too, they got caught.
But still. You know, it wasn't a difference maker in the game, right? I like this fourth line. I think they can run with this.
Well, because I said to you that Sean Stewart might go back to defense for game two and put in King and Foreman, because I wasn't sure what Hebert was going to bring.
Right? Bright Irish town, baby.
Bright Irish town.
Irish town.
My boy. But I just, I can't see Sean Stewart going back on the back end.
No, I can't.
Not just this playoffs, but
next there yesterday for a little bit.
Well, he looks so comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's getting it done, man. Like,
I agree.
He's an actual defenseman, and if I'm John Torchetti, I don't even put him back there next year. You know, I'm keeping him as a forward just based on everything he's done.
He can basically slide into the Pataki checking third line grinder type role. That's where he fits.
He's proving as a hybrid player.
Yeah.
Right. He's one of those guys where, you know, if they're going to need him in the back end, he can fill in right then and there. He knows the job, but man, impressive stuff.
He filled in last night a little bit when Antilainen took a shot off, I think, the inside of his leg. He played a shift or two back there.
Right.
And that's what you need, right?
But the good news is, you've got a guy who can do that.
Not
right.
Going with five defensemen again. So, I mean, getting to last night's game, a gut punch, a heart wrencher. First 10 minutes was awfully tough. Bekomo was all over us. I thought the second 10 minutes of the first period was good. And then it was pretty good until the last 5 minutes for Bekomo. And we were able to come back, tie it. And then if you follow us on Twitter, I may have said the puck was in.
You literally quoted you were tweeting to big name Q Media. I'm pretty sure you actually added Bekomo in your tweet.
No, I don't think I did. I think I very much tried to stay at.
Yeah,
you can go to the tapes.
Sure. I'm upstairs on this one.
I'm pretty sure you did.
I really hope I didn't. And I don't have my phone to shut it off.
Probably a flag on the play.
Yeah.
But no,
look, I hadn't seen the overtop replay, and it looked like it was in. It was as close as you can get.
Like, there's not a person in that building who didn't think that puck was in.
So let me go back here. And so let's see who you tagged in this tweet.
I don't know if did I tag him or did I just...
Jeff, you replied with everybody who was tagged in this. So Jeffrey Brando and at Drakkar de Bekomo. Psst, Huddy scored an OT first. Puck was in and called no goal. Emoji for the whatever the hell this is. Tough puck luck.
I think Mikhail Lalaschuk was in there too.
There was a whole bunch of people.
Look, in my defense, I hadn't seen the overtop replay yet.
So, look, and I'm not trying to pick on you.
No, you are, and it's fun that
it
you
is
do
entertaining.
Every week.
But why? You said you hadn't seen the overplay. So, if you don't see that replay, then why do you claim it happened?
Because the only replay I saw looked like it was in. It was the one on the screen, the big screen at the Avenir Center. It looked like it was in.
Either way,
and like I said on Instagram yesterday, I said it doesn't matter if there's like the sliver of the puck touching the red line, it's not going to count, but we haven't seen that replay yet.
Right. Anyway, but kudos to the Moncton Wildcats for putting it up today on their own Twitter feed.
But let's get to the game. Your thoughts on the...
So, you talk about puck luck in that game, and you're absolutely bang on. I mean, if you look at... And I don't like to come up with excuses, because kudos to Bekomo for capitalizing when they had to. But if you look at two or three of those goals, the very first goal that came on in, great clapper, and even though Francis Leclerc, it trickled through him, he should have stopped that puck.
Agreed.
You know, there was one puck, again, they had bodies in front, puck came down, which just batted it hard, goes five-hole. The goal that goes off Capanelli's face and just throat, and then bounces back to the stick of them, which, again, Leclerc was just...
falling back as he lets it go,
right? Not his fault. Moncton very easily could have won that hockey game. But what I will say is that with 3.5 minutes to go, or 4 minutes to go, I don't, for the life of me, understand, and I'll never understand, why you leave Jeremy McKenna open on that side of the ice. Again, it was a power play. So he scores that first one, and then a minute and a half later, goes down and scores from the exact same place. Like,
that's bad scouting.
Terrible.
That shot was unbelievable.
There was 3,000 people at the Avenir Center who knew where that puck was going.
his short end of goal.
You got to think, all the goals he scored from that spot this year, right? And you're not going to put a guy near him? You're going to leave him wide open? Like
the Summerside sniper?
not just once.
No, twice.
In two minutes.
Like,
that's just a mental lapse. That's all that
it's
is.
It's the Stamkos, the Ovechkin spot. Like, you see it in the NHL. They put guys over there. I think they stuck to him a little bit more tonight, obviously.
Well, I even think, like, came across to McKenna. I'm not sure if even McKenna was shocked. He's like, well, why is nobody here? Like, I don't understand. And he had a wide open cage to fire at.
Yeah.
And he made sure he buried that with authority. He snapped that wrister and made sure that this game was going OT.
His first one?
Unbelievable.
barely any room over that shoulder.
But that goes to show exactly how talented he is, and that is why he will get signed to an NHL contract.
Craig Eagles, quote-unquote, pro release.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Again, he was 11 for 13 last night in the faceoffs.
Right, 11 for 13.
Last night.
Wasn't that Mika Seer?
Nope, Mika Seer was 5 of 18, and Hudson was 11
for
17.
So he was 11 for 13 and then went 9 for 9 tonight.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
I didn't even know he took faceoffs.
Yeah, like, apparently he's a stud. Apparently he's a stud.
So that brings us to tonight. A chance to tie the series at home. They got it. It was a gutty effort. What the power play was finally clicking. That was the biggest thing for me. 2 of 5. Both Mika Seer goals. Your guys' thoughts on that one?
First of all, I didn't go to the game because last night was great. Had a great effect on my heart. Couldn't take two nights in a row.
You and Alex.
Also, they don't seem to win when I'm at the game. So,
well, perfect. There, then. Yeah, well, that's good. That solves that problem. You're going to have to watch every playoff game from home.
Yep. Friday night working. Not going.
Well, that works out for us, doesn't it?
Tonight.
I was legitimately, I even wrote that on the Wildcat post last night. Like, I get too emotionally invested.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I literally went home. Like, my heart was, like, I was devastated. I went home and almost cried to my wife. And I was just like, it doesn't even make sense. And I was just like, as soon as they scored those two, and then they had that puck that was literally an inch and a half away from crossing the line. And I was just, oh, my goodness. Like, it was there. Could you imagine right now that puck crosses the line? We're now up 3-1 in the series.
Oh, frig, man.
Even more. We're two shots away from... We're sitting and
just
waiting
think,
to
just
see.
Think, man. Like, I don't want to sound like a homer here, but this could easily be
a sweep. Yeah,
it could have been.
Two shots away. And actually, Capinelli's goal that was disallowed for the offside, so we might not even need it overtime. We could have been up 2-1. I mean.
Oh, right. I forgot about
that. Yeah. Last night, the first goal, when you talk about puck luck, went over Dorio off the crossbar, bounced out. They come down right away and score. Like, it's just. There's so many bounces in the playoffs, and that's why it's so great. Nobody thought we'd be where we are, especially
well,
once.
I wouldn't say. I didn't see very many predictions that said Bakeholm in 5.
No, gosh,
no. No, I saw them in Bakeholm in 6.
Right.
So,
but, I mean, that's still mathematically possible.
Yeah, true.
That must have been coming out of Quebec somewhere, though. I mean, because a lot of people in the Maritimes, you can't. I mean, to watch the way this whole team plays, and I absolutely love it. And you know, you're talking about tonight's game. Jonathan Aspero, to me, was an absolute beast tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate that there was a play that may or may not see a little attention from the league. No penalty on the call, of course. Ethan Crossman did come back and was okay. But ultimately, that first goal he scored, Hudson's didn't get enough credit for making that even possible.
He took the hit to make the play.
He got crunched.
And not just that one, too.
The one down, yeah.
The Mika Seer direct free direction from the Kavanaugh, the Ivanov shot.
Which all stemmed back from that hit. Because Sasha Roy came out, and he was literally trying to fight Jonathan Aspero through a full cage.
Yeah.
And that was his only job. The minute the puck went down, he was chopping at him. Terrible decision to have him on the ice. Apparently they felt okay with the fact maybe they were trying to get under Aspero's skin. But yeah, so on that power play, you're right.
Sean Elliman hits
Dinoye
from behind. But on the same time, he gets the head out of at the point.
What a tip by Mika Seer. What a tip. No, I loved it. This effort was great. A real gutty 60 minutes. I loved it.
And potentially we don't know, but we could have two of our stars back in the lineup game 5.
Again, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of rumors floating around that Jordan Spence will be out till the third round, maybe. Who knows? But at the same time, you hear people floating around the arena saying that Jordan Spence could play Friday with Jacob. But who knows?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's a guessing game. But at the end of the day, you can't look at that as a factor. If they do come back, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, if they don't, you're winning without them.
Yep.
Keep the momentum rolling. Keep the momentum rolling.
Momentum.
Remember that Fresh Prince episode?
Momentum.
Yeah. Get some momentum.
Valdor has beaten Victoriaville 5-3.
Ah!
So that series is tied 2-2 as well. I think that's 2-3-2 as well.
And Gatineau is officially up 3-2 over Drummondville.
Oh, nice.
I'm trying to avoid the sweep here. Get their brooms out.
Crazy that tomorrow night the only game on the docket's Halifax and Quebec, eh?
Yeah.
Thank you, Harlem Globetrotters, for occupying the video tonight.
Tomorrow night, Rock of Ages at the Avenir Center.
That's right.
Oh, I wish I was going.
I won 2 tickets to from Global News.
Did you?
To the Rock of Ages?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was listening to Global News Morning, and
it's amazing how much you win.
I know. They asked for
all
a,
I do is win,
they asked us to email a picture of your '90s rock hairstyle.
Oh.
It's not the one that was on Facebook, was it?
Maybe.
Yeah, you posted. Oh, maybe not. There was something you posted somewhere.
No, it wasn't that one.
Oh, I creep you a lot on Facebook. You're entertaining.
You got a good reason to. Good stuff on there.
Actually, you guys are quite funny on the Weiss posts with the food and stuff like that. You guys are usually first or second to to comment on things like the leaving her phone at home.
Yeah, well, your wife's
bacon
hilarious.
Fudge.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me just say that chocolate bacon fudge. Man, I don't know what the hell that was.
I'll tell you what it wasn't. Fudge.
Yeah.
She tried.
Get that fudge out of here.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, you guys called her out. She tried.
Yeah, it was a valiant effort on the chocolate bacon fudge.
On the grand scheme of things, I think we should go back to cookies.
Let's go back to hockey a little bit. Halifax Quebec series. What are you guys' thoughts on that one?
I think I still have Halifax. I'm still confident Halifax is going
to
win that series.
No, I mean, me too. But good on Quebec for, you know,
ooh,
taking those 2 games in Halifax and putting some fear in the Mooseheads fans. But I think the funniest part I saw last night was towards the end of the game when Raph Lavoie gave a big woo in the face of one of the Quebec players. Well, yeah, that's, you know, wooing in the face of a Ramparts player when you're still down 2-1 in a series. To the 8th-ranked Ramparts. That's always a smart thing to do.
Yeah. So let's get back to our preview. Games 5, 6, 7 before we get back to the show, which we technically could have a live episode during game 7, which I don't know how that would go because I don't know if I could pay attention to this and watch game 7.
Yeah, because game 7 is Monday, Tuesday. Game 6 and 7, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Right? Holy jumpins.
Hopefully we don't have to get there, but.
You don't work Tuesday. Oh my goodness. Yeah, we should all get together and just watch that game. I'll pop her all around.
If necessary.
Yeah.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No, for sure. I'm just excited. I'm just picturing a plan of game 7 here.
Yeah.
If it gets to that point, I think we should set it up. We'll maybe even now.
I don't think my heartbeat will take that voice.
No, you'll have to, though. We'll do it.
Take after the hurt guest, the live episode.
I'll set the ambient lighting. We'll be good to go. Holy moly, what a goal.
I need 9-1 on standby.
Speaking of goalies, I want to give a shout out to Francis Leclerc. Leads the league in the save percentage 4 games in. He's at the .939 save percentage right now. Absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah,
has he been your MVP?
Ludicrous.
Of the series?
Yeah, he would have to be. He stole game 2. Almost stole game 1.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's given them every opportunity to win every game.
That's why he was my MVP this year. But
just a heads up, everybody. You're probably going to hear his name a little later.
Spoiler alert!
Which I guess playing more games down the stretch kind of benefited him. He's looking, I mean, those red pads look sick too, by the way.
Oh my goodness,
oh,
so
they
sick.
Look so good.
Good for him.
But, I mean, the other guy is, for me, is Denway. What he's doing as a 16-year-old, 2 goals in game 2, like he's ramped it up. He's playing great with that whole line of Sear, McKenna, and Denway. It's been unbelievable.
18th overall. How? How?
How did he fall?
It doesn't
I don't know.
Make
you're
sense.
You're our draft insider.
It
how did he fall?
It does not make sense how he was still available at 18th overall. Like,
I concur.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it's.
Maybe doubled up with Spence.
God, to have gotten Dinoy and Spence. Spence is what, 21st?
22nd or
23rd. One of the two?
That's the one that makes no sense to me.
Man.
He goes through a whole draft and then goes through a round 1, right?
Wow.
Because he wasn't drafted.
He was going to be a first round pick, but he just didn't want to go up north to Bathurst.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who
which worked out for us.
Instead, they took the glorious Ben Rood instead, which ended up with 0 goals, maybe 5 assists, and a minus 60 on the season. Those stats are not glorious.
Nice. So McKenna's seventh overall in scoring, 2 goals, 5 assists. Sears 3-3 with 6. So like that whole line's been dynamite.
Just I don't know. Everybody's doing their job, right? They're getting contributions. Fourth line's not scoring, but like I said earlier, they're just doing their job, right?
They're not scoring for the most part. They're preventing some of their top lines from scoring. That's their job,
right?
That's their job.
They're getting contributions from every line right now, and that's what you need, right? And Torchetti's rolling all four lines. I'll sit here and adamantly say if it wasn't for him and there was still another coach behind the bench, I don't think that fourth line would be seeing any ice time.
I know they wouldn't.
But it's...
I don't think Hebert would either. Be down to three lines and 5D.
They'd have to do something. Although that being said, you wouldn't see Sean Stewart up front. Like, a lot of things changed, right?
Yeah.
He's pushing all the right buttons, pulling all the right strings, whatever you want
to
say.
You can tell how much these kids love to play for John Torchetti. Mm-hmm. He's a respect coach.
Well, I talked about on the small postgame thing. You guys talked about it when he was hired. What he did when his first tenure here in 06-07 with a team that had no business after the Memorial Cup competing, and they went to the second round of the playoffs?
Crazy. Well, they lost Halifax in game 7.
Right.
Round one.
But he had no business being there. Mm-hmm. Like, they were supposed to be a pure dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyways. And this team after, not a dumpster fire, but when you lose those two players, a lot of people wrote this team off.
Saying, coffee's in an hour.
Heart's
racing.
What are you waiting? Staying up for this? Or
what?
You got something to do after?
I got big plans after this.
Nice. Going out to party?
Please let our listeners know what you're doing after the party.
Well,
you know,
I'm just joking. It's going to be a quick visit to,
Oh, that's fantastic. So what do the Cats need to do in game 5?
Pound town!
Game 5.
Population 2.
Nice. One key, if you can get one key.
One key?
To win game 5 and take a 3-2 series lead back to Baie-Comeau.
If I could get one key, I would open up the Baie-Comeau net and have them not have a goalie.
That's a pretty good one.
Bad joke. Bad joke. Key to victory in game 5.
Let's just keep it simple, bud.
Yeah.
Exactly what you're doing now.
Yep. Kiss method. Nothing. Don't make stupid passes. Play smart.
One of the things I liked more than anything else tonight is how adamant Gabe Silvest was in trying to clear the lane in front of Francis Leclerc.
He
was trying, because that's their plan right now. Put bodies in front, put pucks on net, and bang in the junk. And Silvest tried to eliminate that as much as he humanly possible to let Francis Leclerc see as much as he could. And he's done a great job at it. You know, big shout out goes to Gabe's dad, who made the trip down for game 3 and 4.
Funny you mentioned that. He's actually sitting somewhat beside him on last night, Tuesday night. Man, to watch like a hockey dad of a junior hockey player, man, I don't think this guy, like, he just goes rocking back and forth and rubbing his hands, but just.
Absolutely. And he's a great guy, too. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's always been very interactive to us. And I mean, you know, he replies to us on Twitter, and he has no problem doing any of that stuff. And I'm glad he made the trip. What I don't understand is he says he's coming down for games 3 and 4. I don't know if it's a work thing, but Mr. Silvest, I'd call him sick, and I'd come to game 5, just throwing that out there.
Wore his jersey at the airport.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
He wore it in the car, and then wore it to the airport, and then flew to Moncton in this thing.
Yeah. I think he's sleeping in it or something.
Hashtag ballin'.
It's pretty sweet. Antalainen's mom was there as well.
Yeah.
All the way from Finland.
How about that booster club, though?
Oh, unbelievable thing.
That's exactly where I was going with them in the crowd. We saw them at the Charlottetown game with the helmets, asking why they didn't wear the helmets again at home. Like, they've got the crowd going, and the team is feeding off it.
I am going to give someone a shout out on our podcast right now that I can honestly, truthfully say that I don't think I would have ever done all season long. But a big shout out goes to Chappie.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh,
you know what? Good for you. Love everything about it. And to the ass clowns who reported you for making too much noise last night.
Go read a book at a fucking library. Oh, sorry.
That's fine. There's that's an explicit tag on it. We're fine.
Go read a book at a library. Like, if you want silence, go to a university during study week and have yourself a party there.
But good for him to bring the family back.
Yes.
The signs, by the way, were amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely love
Dumb and Dumber tonight.
And I was stupid.
Yeah.
You know,
was that another one?
Yeah,
they
both
put up there. Yeah. They were brilliant. And you know what? The best part about the whole thing is that he gets his kids to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Banging on the glass. Like,
I absolutely love it. I love it.
Madison Chapman, that's the daughter that had the signs.
Yeah.
Shout out to her.
She's also
yeah,
the architect
he was,
of the free Lavallee sign. Like,
the, yeah. Absolutely. You know, good for you. By the way, keep it up because they're going to need you guys.
Because,
to
yeah, 2 weeks ago he tweeted that he was done. He was going to be taking
I've
a little
seen,
bit of a break for a while.
I think I've seen Chappy say he was done a few times this
year. But,
I
mean,
but he keeps coming back.
Yeah, he came back when Drake Carr fans were on us. He was going to pay a little payback standing behind the bench and getting loud and...
Well, so the funny part was is that, you know, last night, because they were so loud during the whole thing, and you could tell it was starting to kind of laugh, and they were getting under the skin of the Macomo coaches. They all turned around, kind of gestured with them a little bit. One of them offered $10 to kind of stop cheering, and like, it was
really?
Actually, yeah, yeah, somebody showed him a $10 bill, like, just kind of calm down. But yeah, so whoever the fan was who actually reported this, and I, you know, I heard that there
and
was
had
a
security
meeting.
Come down.
Yeah, I heard there was a meeting after the fact that basically said, first of all, pump the brakes. This is a hockey game. It's the playoffs. These guys want to cheer. They're not hurting anybody. All he was doing was waving a flag, making lots of noise. Mm-hmm. You know what? The hell with him, Chappie. Keep it up, buddy. We'll see you at the Avenir Center Friday night.
Yeah. If the team's going to ask people to make noise, don't come and expect
that's
people to
thing.
Be quiet.
They're bang pots and pans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. They're like telling everybody to bring pots and pans, bring your horns. But when somebody makes noise, you're telling them to quiet down.
Yeah.
Give me a break. Like, it's a freaking hockey game.
You were at both, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So which crowd was louder, do you think?
For the entire game? Tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last night
but
during
McKenna's
that 2.5 minute stint when McKenna tied that game. Was the only time it got loud last night.
So do you think tonight was louder than that Halifax game?
No. Which one?
The very last one that we played the Saturday night where we beat them 3-2 and...
No!
No?
That was the craziest atmosphere I've ever been a part of.
Okay.
That wasn't even close. There was 7,000 people there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as loud as this.
What are you talking about?
Oh, come on, dude.
It wasn't even close. That if you put a decibel meter in there, like, it would have crushed it.
Oh, okay.
That was the most electric atmosphere I've ever seen. Period.
Maybe just all the noisemakers make it sound louder than that.
Right.
Game,
I mean, maybe if you're in, like, if you're in a section where there's a ton of noisemakers, it would sound loud for sure. But overall atmosphere, not even close.
So special teams that we call the key. Moncton is 20% on the power play. Baie-Comeau's 10.
Crazy.
Our penalty kill is at 89%, and Baie-Comeau's at 79%. Like, they're just that's the biggest key. Well, probably the third biggest key to this series is tied.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's honestly crazy.
And we're doing this without, like we said earlier, we're doing this without Pelche's pads.
Like, our power play is finally starting to perform, and those are two of the biggest key cogs in our power.
We're still... No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, our power play runs through Jacob Pelche.
Yeah. We're used to seeing him in the slot, getting off a quick wrister, but... They're finding ways now to get it done differently.
It's the number two power play in the playoffs.
Right. So, I mean, where things are different now and where you can actually still see, and I brought this up tonight, was that where Moncton struggles from a power play perspective, and this is where you can see they're lost without Pelche, is setting it up, getting the puck in deep. Because with Pelche on the power play unit, as they're coming on in, the play is always come up to half, drop the puck back to Pelche, who's covering the blue line from behind the net. Mm-hmm. He finds a way to get the puck in deep, and then they set up. Well, they don't have anybody who's dynamic enough to get that puck in deep. And when they do find it, once they set up, the passing is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, they look great, but they struggle. And Baie-Comeau does such a great job of being so fast on the defender or on the puck possession. You know, Moncton panics a little bit. But once they start to move that puck and when they find that open man, they'll get bodies up front and they put pucks on net. And that's what your defense need to do. I absolutely love it.
I don't like that drop back pass.
Nope, never have.
Everybody's using it.
I know,
and I don't
that's
like
the
it.
Thing, and I just
feel like it takes away from momentum.
If
you go on there, stop.
I feel it's going to burn them one of these times. Like there's just going to be somebody right there ready for it, and I don't like that break. I don't like that break in. I never have.
No,
A lot of NHL teams do it. Never a fan. Just doesn't seem to work much. But like if you have somebody. Like Pelche, who can stick handle in a phone booth and get, you know, get through those first two guys, then fine, yeah, do it. But I mean, it's just, it just doesn't seem to, you know, doesn't float my boat.
So just because I want to, I was going through after you brought something up earlier. I started trailing back and going through history here, going back to the 06, 07 years. And I wanted to see who the top goal scorers were of the league back then and like goaltending. So look at this. Francois Bouchard had 125 points that year.
Francois Bouchard? Chicoutimi?
Bake Bacon. But I'm glad you said that because the real question is who? So the second guy to finish with 124 points that year, and you'll probably remember this, Thomas Beauregard out of Bathurst. So Beauregard and his line mate, Matthew Perreault.
Okay, right, yeah.
Because they played in Bathurst together. Perreault had 119 points.
Yeah.
Claude Giroux finished fourth that year, playing for Gatineau with 112
some
points.
Some that was a free agent. There was
that's what shocked me when they retired his number.
That was Paul Byron.
Yeah, Paul Byron. Oh, by the way, kudos, RIP Paul Byron, not making that trip. Got absolutely murdered last night. And then, of course, rounding up that list top five, David Desharnais. You know, finished that up, playing for Chicoutimi at 108 points.
Hmm.
Now, if you look at the goaltending on the other side, number one, Andre Pavlek with a 2.52 save percentage. Right. And then Jonathan Bernier. 2.58. Lewiston.
Crazy. Maniacs, rest in peace.
I absolutely love taking these walks down, you know.
Memory lane.
I love it.
I missed Lewiston. Like, it was just...
It was fun. Very expensive to run a team out of the U.S. Yeah. Yeah, it was tough. Anyway, sorry, Adam. I just saw that and I was really excited.
That's fine. Why is that? Why is it more expensive to run out of the U.S.?
Same reason for travel. Yeah. You know, you have to pay.
I guess if there's one team, like in the WHL, they got four or five that they can play.
But you
got
to remember too, you're paying because the dollar was starting to shift at that point, and you're paying your organization in American money versus Canadian money. And as everyone knows, there's not a ton of money in junior hockey. So, anyways, it was tough. But I love, you know, Lewiston won a trophy.
He did.
Lewiston won a trophy in a short period of time.
They had a good team that year.
R.I.P. Kirill Kabanov.
They just won a President's Cup, right? They didn't win a Memorial Cup, did they?
Yeah, they went to the Mem Cup, didn't win.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh my goodness, if somehow Lewiston won a Mem Cup before Moncton,
every playoff series, there's the team, like the other team, you hate a guy. Who's the one guy for Bacomo that has gotten under your skin in this series?
I said it last week. Sean Elliman.
Yep, that's the same guy for me. And of course, he scores the overtime winner last night, too.
Full tilt. Yeah. With just a harmless shot on net, which is what you knew was going to be the winner.
Yeah.
One of those goals was going to happen.
Both of them are kind of like that. Both are overtime.
Absolutely.
Goals.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Sean Elliman's been the guy. I have a love hate relationship with Ethan Crossman. I feel for him. I loved him when he was here. I didn't think he got a fair shake when he left here. He's extremely talented, and he's a very valuable hockey player to his team. I mean, look at what he did to Bathurst. I mean, he overcame some serious adversity to make that club last year, and then goes on and wins the Memorial Cup, and then gets traded to Bacomo. And you can see he's playing his role to a T. I would love to have Ethan Crossman on my team. I hate playing against him. To me, in my opinion, he's the Brad Marchand of the QMJHL. But no, absolutely, Sean Elliman's my guy for sure.
You could say that Ethan Crosman's career in the QMJHL has been a jagged journey.
Wow, man, you were just killing it tonight.
Yeah, well done. Must have been two cups of coffee.
Slow clap.
Boom.
I would go with Element. The close second would be Benoit.
The Canadian crippler,
Chris Benoit. Hey. Or Rick the model, Martel. I know his name's not Rick, but the model Martel.
He almost smoked a Wildcat.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, there was, go back to the 2016 draft when Moncton took Pelche third overall, there was an offer on the table.
Hmm.
Martel was going to come to Moncton. I think they're going to get the third overall, sixth and ninth overall pick.
Something like that. Yeah.
But.
Whew, touched the bullet there.
That was turned down.
All right, so.
For the first time, Roger hung up the phone. Yeah. Oh, boy, Roger.
Worked out well for us.
Yeah, we're going to get this one.
All right, so like we said, game five Friday night. Get your tickets, Ticketmaster everywhere. Let's get to Mr. Dobson's cat of the week.
Oh, right, yeah. So in case you've lived under a bridge or a rock and have no idea what is happening, it's going to the goaltender. Francis LeClair has been absolutely lethal. I love him. He has done a fantastic job. You know, right now sitting at a 2.30 goals against, a 9.39 save percentage, single-handedly stole game two, almost stole game one, could have stole game three. He's your guy. You always said you ride a hot goaltender to the playoffs and anything can happen.
Yep.
Well, right now, I don't think it's a hotter goaltender than the Moncton Wildcats netminder.
Was it, just a quick question, how did Denway or Asir factor into that, any of that?
I wanted to give it to Elliot. You know, anytime a 16-year-old kid can come on into this league and score two major, massive power play goals, Mika Sears look good. Jeremy McKenna's been unreal, too. Jeremy McKenna's now probably got, like, what, 7 or 8 points in the playoffs?
Yeah, seven.
I mean, you look at what he's done. I love it. And, you know, there's so much talent here. But I got to give it to the goaltender.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with it. I just wondered if the other two guys factored
in. Of course. Like I said, if I could hand out trophies like they were participation awards, I mean, I would literally give
but that's not seven what we're about
guys. Here. That's it. I mean, you got to give it to somebody. And, you know, this week it happens to be Francis Leclerc.
All right. Fans know they love it. Mr. Boucher, your stick tap of the week.
I got a couple of them here, but we're going to stick with the hockey theme for once. No food. Amazing.
Call me disappointed.
First stick tap of the week, obviously going off the Moncton Flyers. New Brunswick major midget champions once again. Don't even know how many titles they've won in the past 10 years, but
nine.
Probably, yeah, 9 of 10. Good. So, obviously, good luck to them, Atlantics, in Charlottetown next weekend, April 4th to 7th. I think I might have given them my first stick tap of the week way back in August or September, whenever
I think
it was.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Literally, I mean, they're going to lose their entire top line next year to Major Junior. Like, get Cole Cormier going to Rimouski, Yannick Bastrass will be in Bathurst, Patrick LeBlanc will be in Charlottetown, throw in Alexi Dubé as well will be in Bathurst. But just despite those losses, the future's bright, which will lead me into my second stick tap of the week. The Dieppe Flyers, New Brunswick Bantam AAA champions, thrilling 3-2 overtime, one game, winner-take-all final that was Sunday against the Moncton Hawks. So good luck to the Bantam Flyers at Atlantics and St. Margaret's Bay, Nova Scotia, also next weekend. So if you think, like, you know, these two teams from Greater Moncton, you know, from in the Bantam AAA Championship, imagine with all those graduating players, you know, just how competitive it'll be at Moncton Flyers.
Is that the filter to the Moncton Flyers? Yeah. Dieppe and Riverview and
the Hawks. Yeah, so Moncton Hawks, Bantam AAA, Dieppe Flyers, Bantam AAA. These are all guys who are graduating players that are going to be trying for the Moncton Flyers next year. So, again, you're going to have a crap ton of good, you know, 15-year-olds going into midget next year.
Does Riverview have one?
No.
They don't have Bantam AAA? No. I know they got some AAA, the Blues or whatever, but I didn't know what
I think they're like midget AA or something.
But, oh, okay.
But, yeah, just... You know, you're going to lose all these veterans next year to Major Junior, but you're getting a good crop of young guys coming up from Bantam. So probably going to be another successful year for the Moncton Flyers if I were to venture a guess. So that, my friends, is the double stick tap of the week.
So I'm not going to – something just popped up on my Facebook right now, and I'm not going to – I won't call it even an honorary stick tap, but I'm going to give a shout-out to somebody. Give a shout out to my mom.
That's always a good shout out.
This is amazing. So my mom is still just, she's had Facebook for a little while. In fact, doesn't really know how to use it. But she locked herself out of her own Facebook account. So instead of getting it fixed, she created a new one. So her Facebook status was, glad I stayed home tonight to watch the Moncton Wildcats on TV. Get to see my favorite announcers, Chris and Jerry. Woo, go Cats, go. Then, so I'm looking at everything that's happening here as far as any interaction goes, and I see, oh, there's some likes, there's some loves, and then there's one share, and I'm like, oh, who's sharing my mom's status? I check it, my mom. She shared her own stat. That's how much she loves me. So I will give an absolute shout out to my mom. I love you to death. Thanks for the support.
That was great, man.
That's fantastic. Absolutely. I love when they share their own.
I love it.
She doesn't call you to fix her Facebook. She just starts a new one.
Not at all. That's why I love my... So my mom, God love her. She's my stepmom. She's been a BlackBerry user her whole life. Refused to switch. Like, refused. Until about, I think it was like 3 weeks ago. She had no choice.
Oh.
So we got her an iPhone.
10?
No. I gave her an SE. Just something that she can use. Something small.
Yeah.
Because my old man got her an iPad for Christmas. so she can kind of learn the ropes. Anyways, so now she knows how to iMessage, and of course, obviously, with the kids coming, and so Tommy's always sending photos of the ultrasound and stuff. Anyways, God love my mom. She's really become, she's trying. She's trying to be a tech superstar, but either way, she's crushing Facebook, and then she mentioned my name once and then shared it again, so ultimately, I love you, Mom. Thanks for doing that.
That's beautiful.
That was amazing.
Good stuff. All right, let's get to overtime.
Welcome to Overtime.
Who's going to win the Stanley Cup, boys?
I'm really glad you asked that. I'm going to take the Montreal Canadiens. No, just joking. I would love to see Winnipeg make it to a cup final. In fact, I'd like to see probably like a Winnipeg-Tampa Stanley Cup final. I don't think anybody's beaten Tampa in the East. I truly don't.
I don't, but it's weird when you win the President's Cup, you generally don't win the Stanley Cup.
You're not wrong. Right? I mean, like, but you can never bet against the Penguins because they're playing hot right now.
The Islanders are playing pretty well.
The Islanders are playing good. I would love to see my wild card right now is Arizona. I would love to see Arizona. I mean, I understand
it. You got
to
get in first.
You got it. They've got to get in. Carolina's been super fun to watch lately. Big fan of the Storm Surge. I love it. But at the same time, I'm not going too far ahead. I'm sticking with the fact that the Habs have a huge game. Well, it would be tonight when you guys are listening to it because they're playing Columbus without the services of Paul Byron, who literally had his face knocked in. It's NHL's so fun right now. That wild card race in the East is so exciting between Montreal, Columbus, Carolina. Who's the other one?
Metro, Columbus, Carolina.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah, okay. Either way, I'd love to see a Winnipeg-Tampa final. You can never count out the Bruins. The Leafs, again, I hate to say this as a Habs fan, but they're fun to watch. I just don't think they're quite there yet. I still think their D is lacking. But they're fun. I don't know. It's up for grabs.
As much as I am a Flames fan, I'm not going
to... I was going to say, sorry, man. I was like, the Flames have been fun to watch. No, I love the Flames, too.
I love them, but just don't think they're... I mean, obviously, they're... If they go like 2-3-1 in their last six games, they're still going to win the West. But I think they'll get by the first round, but I just don't see them getting past the second round. I'm going to go out of the West. I want to see Nashville and Winnipeg go at it again. That would be absolutely phenomenal. That'd be a pretty good Western final if they can make it happen. Out of the East, I'll go, like you said, Chris, can't say anything bad about Pittsburgh. I'll go Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay again if the standings and the playoff format can make it happen. So we'll say Tampa and Nashville, the Stanley Cup
final. That'd be fun too. Man, that Wayne Simmonds pickup to me is still so crucial from a postseason perspective. He's the playoff guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. I'd probably say Nashville. They got so close 2 years ago, I think. I love the playoff atmosphere in that building with the yelling at the goalie and everything. I mean, it's the same.
It's all your fault.
Yeah, it's all your fault.
I've been wanting to try that at the Near Center, but I just don't know how the crowd would react if I yelled, "You suck."
It would just be you by yourself.
I like Vegas too. Marc-Andre Fleury can steal 8. Well, I took him there all the way last year, but I don't know if they can get past San Jose. Which leads me to the question that you hear a lot coming out of Toronto because they are going to play Boston. They've been stuck playing Boston for like 3 weeks. Are you guys a fan of the division system, or would you prefer the 1-8? Because Washington or Winnipeg and Nashville are going to play in the second round.
I'm a 1-8 guy all the way. I love old school. It's not that I don't like the division, but if I had to pick between the two, To me, that just makes sense.
Yeah, I like the division because it keeps it in division, which builds your playoff rivalries. But for a team like Toronto, who has to play Boston again in the first round, that's been, you know, set in stone for almost 3 weeks, they would get home ice advantage and take on Pittsburgh. But it's tough when Winnipeg and Nashville are not going to be a Western Conference final. They're going to fight for in the second round. Like it seems like it knocks teams out quicker than. But yeah, I like probably Vegas and Tampa. And I just, as much as the President's team doesn't usually win, Tampa just looks they don't have a lot of weaknesses.
They're so good.
Like, I think there was a stat the other day, Boston won like 16 straight, or got points in 16 straight, and they were still 15 points behind Tampa Bay.
Hey, Ruane Aranda won 25 straight and should win against beating M plus in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, and don't sleep on Washington either.
Never, you can't. No. They just had their Stanley Cup celebration at the White House last week.
Well, let's get to the other sport that gets going this week. Your baseball predictions.
Oh, yes, that's right.
The Red Sox are going to run the gauntlet, win 162 games.
That is on record, ladies and gentlemen. That is on record.
I'm heading to Boston for April 12th, 13th, 14th against the Orioles. Yeah, there's a very good chance Boston could repeat. I'll be curious to see what happens with Craig Kimbrell. I can't believe he's still unsigned at this point. It's crazy.
So is Keuchel, isn't he?
Yeah, Dallas Keuchel's still unsigned too.
Like it's.
I would say, I'm not a Jays fan. I enjoy the Jays because they're, you know, they're Canada's only team. I'll always have a soft spot for them. But ultimately, I think this would be a great year to watch the Jays lose, but in a good way. You know, you get to see the young bats come out. You know, Bo Bichette's been playing really well throughout the
ads. Guerrero.
Well, Vladdy, but I mean, Vladdy's a given, though. I mean, everybody's waiting for Vladdy.
Yeah, but they don't know if he's going to start this year because of the contract issues.
He's not. They've already sent him back. They've already assigned him down there. His first 15 games, he'll play in the minors because all it does is, again, it alleviates some contract space and how it all works out from a perspective. Smart move on the
Jays. Is it kind of like the NHL where if you don't play 9 games, you don't lose that first entry? Is it like that, but
similar,
a lot different?
It's a lot different, but it's similar. But overall, yeah, so by game 15, you'll see Vladdy Guerrero Jr. up playing with the big club. Foolish comments by the GM of Toronto to say that they didn't think that Vladdy Guerrero Jr. was Major League Baseball ready. In fact, almost ignorant comments, to be honest with you. And I don't know if it was just to kind of rally the troops and see if they could have a field day with the media.
So that, like, or is that more just to try to take the pressure off?
Could be. Maybe, right? It's the most, like, brilliant comment you've ever made. Like, but to me, it's a
It seems
comment.
Silly, but it could be the, well, let's take the pressure off him if he's not ready, even though everybody in the world knows he's ready.
Right. But overall, there's going to be a lot of good baseball teams this year. You never count out the Dodgers. The Yankees will be good again this year. You know, the AL East is going to be where it's at. But again, the Red Sox have a very good chance to repeat.
I watch baseball, I watch the Blue Jays, and I'll follow it to the point where, you know, I know where, you know, free agents go and stuff like that. Like, I'm not into it like that, but I'm a Jays fan, so, you know, you always want them to kind of pull off another 92-93.
Oh, it'd be crazy.
Their future looks pretty good. Like, Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and that kid with the crazy hair. The Yuri Gurriel, whatever his name is.
Yeah,
Gurriel.
Richard Urania made their, you know, their opening at roster. They're looking good. I mean, I can see them kind of being in the mold of the Houston Astros, but it's going to take them probably 3, 4, 5 years. And they're probably going to be right up there. So by the time I'm, you know, in my 40s, maybe we'll have another World Series up in Canada. You never know.
So, Chris, as a Red Sox fan, who worries you more, the Yankees or the Astros?
Houston.
Yeah?
Full tilt. And again, the Yankees would be decent, but in my opinion, the Yankees haven't done anything spectacular. I mean, they picked up Tulo, which, you know.
Toronto's banned from
the
pick up
right,
Tulo.
Right, and Jays fans are absolutely, you know, thrilled the fact that we basically wrote off, paid $40 million for him to leave.
I just think Houston losing Keuchel will be tough on there.
For sure, but they've got the offense to back that
yeah.
up, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I don't know, man. But yeah, I would say out of the two of them, I'm more afraid of Houston than I am of New York.
I'm not much of a baseball. Like, I watch the baseball in the playoffs. I like playoff baseball. I usually watch every series. I always have a soft spot for Atlanta. Always have. Because you could watch them on TBS back in the day on free TV.
Hey.
But then I just can't. It's too much to follow all the time.
But what's cool about Atlanta is you look at, you know, who's running that organization in Atlanta right now, right? I mean, it's Alex Anthopoulos.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Same guy who built that Toronto Blue Jays squad, the bat flip, and took that postseason run and, you know, made the big deals to get David Price and Troy Tulowitzki and all those guys. Like, yeah, I'll always have a soft spot for Atlanta. And then when he actually gave Jose Bautista a crack to come back to Atlanta. And
played pretty well, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bautista's not an outfielder, and the problem was he wanted to be an outfielder. You need Jose Bautista as a DH. That's where he needs to sit.
But when you look at the NL, you've got the Cubs that are always there, St. Louis, like you said, the Dodgers, the
until
Harper in Philadelphia.
It's a factor, guaranteed.
I mean, they've loaded up.
But if I've got any Dodgers fans out there, and I am welcoming you to at me on this, and that is, I am so sick and tired of Dodgers fans telling me that Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher in baseball, and he ain't won shit.
No.
He's got a nasty curveball, though.
Oh, he's a hell of a pitcher. But until you can win in the postseason, you ain't nothing.
A la David Price.
David Price is a ring, bud.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, everything on David Price was, yeah, he's great in the regular season, but he's got to get past.
He was clutch. He helped get, yeah, exactly. He was that guy to get your team to the postseason, but could never man up in the postseason. Then last year, decided to play a bunch of Fortnite, got carpal tunnel, came back. They blamed it on Fortnite, and all of a sudden comes back and wins a ring. Absolutely love it.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Not.
Sorry, no, I was just going to say, there's a couple more things. Got to talk about some other crazy sports news that came out this week. One, funniest thing in the world, Conor McGregor announces his retirement literally 3.5 hours after being on Fallon, saying he's going to fight, getting ready to line up for July, and then on Instagram decides he's going to retire. That was hilarious to me. I don't know if you guys are big UFC fans or not, but Conor McGregor is the funniest guy I've ever seen in my life. And again, he's crazy.
Yeah.
Full tilt.
He's probably the one that I know. Like, I followed it when it was BJ Penn, GSP, like the early 2000s. That's when I really followed it. Now I'm like,
There's never been a better mic man than Conor McGregor.
No, not at all.
When they were doing their press tour, when he was fighting Floyd Mayweather, and I think, what did he hit him with? The best part. I mean, Floyd Mayweather came out with like a sweatpants and a school bag and a bunch of cash. And instantly Conor's like, what are you doing with a school bag? You can't even read. And I was like, that's amazing. Anyways, yeah, I thought that was crazy that Conor McGregor, it's big news. And people think it's going to stick, although he's announced his retirement 3 times before, so who knows.
I want to say this. How great is it that we don't have to work around the Coliseum schedule this
year? Oh, man. Thought that was going to be your stick tap, actually.
I was thinking about it, but you know, it's been a while since I went sports, but my God, like, it's just so much more convenient. You know, last weekend, the home show, boat show.
I was going to say, which reminds me, big boat show this weekend at the Coliseum. Check it out.
Boats and hoes, you know, you got everything.
The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria.
But yeah, man, that's awesome. Like, it's
the fucking Catalina wine mixer.
Just so much more convenient. I think the scheduling,
great shout out.
The scheduling gods must be, just loving this right now.
Great shout out.
Brian Jenner must be loving life, not having to work around.
Pretty sure I saw him doing backflips at the Avenir Center tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, big W, no scheduling conflicts. He's got life by the nuts.
Yeah. One more question for you, because you're a wrestling fan. Your thoughts on the WrestleMania main event?
Rousey, love it. Finally,
Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. Who won SmackDown title last night?
What?
Oh, hashtag spoiler alert. Oh, yeah, she beat Asuka. So it's a triple threat with both titles. So they got to be unifying that thing.
You don't have to watch your PBR anymore.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I just ruined it.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that's different. But yeah, awesome.
like thank God it's not Brock Lesnar again.
Right. Like, it's about time. These women are amazing. They're incredible competitors. It's about time they finally get, you know, their moment.
Well,
right?
If they weren't going to be if they weren't going to main event with these three, they were never going to main event to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, Ronda Rousey's name and what Becky and Charlotte have done, they were never going to, which is in 2 weeks, isn't it?
April the 4th?
April 5th.
5th, 4th?
Something like that.
7th, whatever it was.
Yeah, there's one more Raw, so next weekend, yeah.
Yeah, but man, it's awesome. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, even if you're a wrestling fan, you grow up like, it's like the Stanley Cup final, like game 7, overtime. Like, you're playing street hockey, you dream of scoring the game-winning goal, but in wrestling, you grow up like, you know, doing like front flips off your couch onto a mattress in your basement.
Don't try this at home, as every kid tries this at home.
Right? It's like, and that's what it is. And you just dreaming of pulling off these moves in your basement, doing it at WrestleMania. And, you know, it's awesome. I can't wait. Like, it's, you know, 5 years ago, you would ask me if I'd be okay, you know, if I would have supported women, you know, main eventing WrestleMania, I probably wouldn't have the same reaction, but just how far they've gone with, like, you know, developing their talent.
NXT was huge for them.
Yeah.
Male and female, but yeah, especially female, because they were three-minute short bikini matches that were your bathroom breaks on Raw until the Bellas finally snapped.
And it just, it's awesome. Like, it's, and the fans love it. Like, they're I haven't seen a bad thing about it.
No, so some of the best cards have been the women's card, like the Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, Hell in a Cell match, Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey with the kendo sticks losing it. Are you done with Ronda Rousey?
I was done with her before, she, you know, after her first appearance on WWE. I can't stand her.
No.
Right?
She needs Paul Heyman, if anything.
Yeah.
Like, if Brock leaves after this.
Now they're getting her boyfriend involved in it.
Yeah, he's there even now. Yeah.
Like, it's so stupid. Like, don't get your boyfriend, like an MMA fighter, involved in your, you know, in your corner.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. If you're going to have anybody, yeah, like you said, Paul Heyman, or, you know,
like, give him the stable of the former UFC guys.
Rob Gronkowski.
Yes. That's
so perfect.
Him and Mojo Riley.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's at WrestleMania.
Oh, I guarantee you he's at WrestleMania.
He's been there before.
Yeah,
with a security guard that wouldn't let him in because she didn't know the plan.
He's probably going to start a Twitter war with one of these guys, you know, the next couple days.
And he'll be in Mojo's corner in that'll...
Yeah.
Big Brother updates? Do you guys have any... did any of our... Is Adam still in it?
Adam's still in it.
Although Adam's in a hot spot right now. But yes, Adam's still in it.
His top spot. But
I mean, if we're going to talk wrestling, I might as well let you guys talk Big Brother updates.
Since it is Wednesday, I guess you can probably spoil the big POV.
Because I'll be listening tomorrow, so.
But Chris, you probably haven't watched it. But,
I have not.
Okay.
All right, so maybe there's
POV winner. Can I go for it?
Hit me with it.
Hashtag spoiler alert. If you don't want to know, shut the podcast off right now.
Corey Kennedy, baby.
No way.
Yeah.
That's really going to come into play here.
Yeah. Huh. Big win for the Pride of Sussex. And you called it the Dirty Donkey last week.
Yeah, the Thirsty Mule. That's beautiful.
Another thing. We talk a lot about Joshua Waugh on this show.
Right.
His team loses one game in the regular season. Last night, they were eliminated in overtime of a best-of-five series.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, they're done. So, the Quebec final is Magog, which I think they're going to walk all over.
Right.
Lac Saint-Louis, who is, of course, we got Brandon Walker, Wildcats prospect on Lac Saint-Louis. So,
Magog, is that where Pelt came from? Is that the team in...
Magog, no. He was on Smenel Saint-François.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But Magog is like a...
I don't know that...
Lac Saint-Louis produced a lot of good hockey players.
Yeah, like most of them go to NCAA.
Yeah.
But Magog, that's where Felix Poffin coaches.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be a good series, but I mean, nobody expected Livy to lose to Lac Saint-Louis, so you never know. That's the beauty of playoff hockey. But yeah, that was a big shocker last night.
And before we go, I've got some advice for parents out there with young kids. Prepare your kids for social media by putting their artwork on the fridge and writing a bunch of mean comments underneath. That's a wrap for me.
Yeah, that'll do for tonight. I got to go to Pound Town. All
right. Thanks for listening, everyone. And if you watched on Instagram Live for a little bit, we'll try this again at some point. But you can follow us on all the social medias, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, search Moncton Wildcast. Get your tickets for Game 5 Friday at the Avenir Center. See you guys next week.